Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome you to the House of Brain. I felt like taking it back old school, y'all. Hey, Dr. Lowell Pye, let's do it.
Praise him even more? Did it do something to your spirit? Did you jump around a little bit? Did you clap your hands? Did you get up and say, thank you, Lord, for another day? I mean, did it just do something to your spirit? Did it just, the song said, I just want to praise you. I just want to praise you. I just want to be in the house of praise today. I just want to praise you. This went old school. Like, you know, got to get loose. We got to get loose. We got to shake all this other stuff off of us. This is your Fix It Six, and I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real, McNeil, and we're going to have a ball on this evening. We tried to kick it off with a praise in the house. You get up and listen. Get up and shake whatever that's not like God. Get up and shake it off. Just shake it off right now. We need our minds and our spirits and our bodies to be focused and clear. We want to replace everything that's not like God with joy and love on this evening. No matter what storm came through, no matter what rain came through, no matter what hurricane came through, God allowed us to be still here to give him praise. And he's just reminding us that, look, I love y'all. I got y'all. I'm doing what I promised that I was going to do. Every promise that he ever made to you, it's about to come true. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before I go any further, I just want to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, that I am so thankful to you for giving me grace to see another day. To see another day. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill my heart with your loving kindness. Kindle a fire that will continue to burn in my heart, Father, and may you fill my heart with the love of Jesus. Help me, Lord, to be faithful to you in all that I do and all that I say. My prayer today, Lord, 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 Jesus is and always will be my Savior. I pray that you will continue to draw my family, my friends, my neighbors, and even my enemies closer than they have ever been to you, Jesus. Release your power into the hearts and fill them with agape love. Lord Jesus, deliver us from all evil and satanic forces that will prevent us from loving one another, that will prevent us from loving our neighbor, that will prevent us from loving our enemies. Anything that gets in the way, God, we ask you to help us and offer us your peace. Help us to offer love and friendship and love and peace and love and happiness as you have designed us to do to all the world. Let your ministry and let your ministering word go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want to thank you, Jesus, on this new day that you have given us. And I want to give a shout out to the Dover Air Force Base. The Patterson building still holding it down, still serving and serving the Lord, serving each other. And we want to thank all the nurses that's on the front line, all the doctors, all the maintenance people, all the people that are still in the stores, cashiers, stockers. We don't forget anybody. We ask God to bless you and keep you safe and protect you from dangers seen and unseen on this day. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to give a shout out to the First Lady of Mount Carmel International Ministry, Dr. Callan McNeil, the one and only. She said the one and only. I can't do it, but she's still the only one. And she's the one and only in my life. Amen. Glory to God. And I thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah. I hope everyone had a blessed Resurrection Sunday, a blessed weekend. Amen. Glory to God. I just want to spend some time on this evening talking about Jesus. Amen. Because I realized something on last night. Something was waiting on Jesus. In the midst of everything that Jesus, from the time he was conceived, from the time that he had ran away for 3 days and his parents was worried about him, from the time that he knew who he was, from the time that even John the Baptist baptized him, he had a plan. God had already had a plan for him, and something was waiting on him. And the one thing that I realized, and I really thought about it, and I'm thankful, what was waiting on him the most in my eyesight was the ultimate price that he had given up his life for our sins. It's almost like you can work so hard all your life, but you know your Social Security is waiting on you. You know when you're as a woman, you're pregnant, you got 9 months, you know within that 9 months, you're going to deliver that baby. You know that something's waiting to see that bundle of joy pop out and just be a part of you, the life that you carry. He carried our burdens. He died for our sins. And that was the thing that I appreciate and thank him for, because a lot was waiting on him, and he dealt with it all. Amen. And I just want to go through, we do have scriptures, and I just want to read some things with us tonight pertaining to some of the things that Jesus was waiting on him. Amen. Glory to God. Because I wanted to remind us, like, after he endured everything, the trials and everything that the crowd was doing, and they was wanting to kill him, and he reached the summit of the hill where he would be crucified. The Roman guards assigned to execute the execution duty that day stretched Jesus out on the ground. And this is our Savior. This is our Savior being treated in such a manner, with a bunch of people around that he has performed miracles for, people that have seen the God in him and know that he was who he said he was. And they stood around and allowed this to happen. And that's what some of us do. We allow things to happen that we know are wrong. We know are wrong, but we just don't step up and help those that need our help. Now, Jesus didn't need their help because that was his destiny. But I just wanted to use that as an example that sometimes we just have to be the ones that step up. Amen? They stretched him out on the ground. They pinned his arms roughly against wooden cross beams. Then one of the guards found a soft spot on Jesus' wrist, not in his hand, and placed the point of a spike, right, against his flesh. And the sound of the hammer striking the spike rang out over the din of the crowd. He repeated that process on the other arm. Then two guards then lifted Jesus up and secured the cross beam on an upright pole, grabbing one of Jesus' feet and placing it over the other one. The powerful Roman drove another spike through both of his feet, securing them to the base of the cross. This is our Savior. This is the man who did nothing wrong to anybody. This is the one who all he did was try to show love and try to teach us the right way. Amen. Jesus, the sinless one, own son, he hung there in the burning Palestine, the Palestinian sun. There he also felt the full heat of the crowd scorn and mocking. Do you know what that feels like when you know you've never done anything, but people are just screaming out nasty things at you, wishing the worst for you, wishing that you were dead, wishing that you never be nothing, wishing that your whole life just fall apart, kill him, we don't want him, people just don't want you around, and you know you did nothing to deserve this? You know that all you ever did was give up yourself to help your neighbor, to help the family member, to help the friend. You went out your way to help the backbiter. You went out your way to help your enemy. And in the midst of everything you did, it's almost like the saying, you can do a million beautiful, wonderful things, but that one bad thing you do, that's all people will remember. But Jesus didn't do anything wrong. So why was he treated like that? It goes back. He had something that was waiting for him. Amen. Hallelujah. While he was nailed to the cross, Jesus had to lift himself up on a spike and his feet in order to breathe. Ain't that something? In order to breathe. And when the pain in his feet became unbearable, he would slump and hang by his wrist as his head hung heavy. His windpipe was cut off, making breathing impossible. That's why death by crucifixion was so horrible. Wow, he had the most horrible death that there was. It was a slow, desperate kind of death, with the urge to breathe, battling consistently against the white-hot pain presented by the spikes embedded in the victim's flesh. The Lord spoke only seven times during the hours he hung. The hours that he hung on that cross, three times before the darkness, one during it, and three times. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the first time, let's go to the book of Luke. Hallelujah. Chapter 23. And we're going to read down to 34. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The book of Luke, chapter 23. And we're going to start at the verse 34. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here's a guy sitting on a cross, dying, barely able to breathe, barely able to hold his breath, barely able to hold up. But he still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus was resolute in the face of his death, knowing that his purpose on this would now be fulfilled. And he asked God to forgive the crowd, the ones who had condemned him unjustly, who had spat on him, mocked and jeered at him, even the ones who had nailed him to the cross. And now they were gambling for his clothes. He asked the Father, forgive those who did not deserve it. A true picture of this work on the cross for all of us. Now, just imagine some of the stuff that you done went through and you know that you didn't deserve it. Was your heart ready to forgive those that were taking you through? Or were we in a revenge state, an anger state, a state I just can't wait to get even, or I'm going to get you back state? We got to get to the point that we have to understand that something's waiting for us too. There's trials and tribulations waiting for us too. There's a wilderness waiting for us. And we have to prepare with our everyday walk. We have to prepare by seeking God's face early and daily. We have to prepare by getting into the Word and knowing God's voice over the enemy's voice, knowing God's voice over our own voice. We have to prepare for that thing that's waiting for us also. We have to get to a point where fasting is a part of our lifestyle. Yes, 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 fasting. I mean a sincere fasting. We work our way up to it, but there has to be a sincere fasting, sacrificing of something that you know you really don't want to let go of, but you want to let go of it to show God, I am willing to give this up if you impact me, if you empower me, if you show me the way, if you guide me. We got to get to the point where we start allowing God to guide us. Amen. We got to start having that spiritual power and not the physical power. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being physically strong, but this warfare is spiritual. Amen. Hallelujah and glory to God. Remember, he didn't even deserve what he went through. Amen. And we're going to go to the book of Luke, and we're going to stay there. We're going to go to chapter 23, but we're going to go down to verse 43. Amen. Because I want to express that, because originally both of the thieves even mocked Jesus too. We're going to talk about that later. Amen. Because I know I always hear that one said, when you get to where you're going, please remember me. But we got to also remember, this is how kind Jesus was. Not only that after they mocked him, and then they came back and said, well, can you remember me? Jesus had already had in his heart to forgive them. Well, amen. So we're going to go, and we're going to go to verse 43, because we have to remember in that verse where he says, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And that's what his mission, like Jesus was, he was ready. He was ready. He was freely and willingly ready to do what he had to do for our sins. He knew what he had to go through. How he prepared his mind and his body. He was still a natural man, feeling all the physical pain. He was ready. He knew something was waiting for him, and he was ready. But how did he prepare? How are we preparing for what's waiting for us? what's waiting for you in your ministry, what's waiting for you on your job, what's waiting for you when you get up, what's waiting for you in your wilderness, what's waiting for you, what mountain is waiting for you, and what are we doing to prepare? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. We got to remember that just like Jesus, something is waiting for us also. Amen. Hallelujah. Because like I said earlier, originally both these mocked Jesus, but one changed his mind and asked Jesus to remember him when he entered the heavenly kingdom for his pathetic position on the cross. That lawless man received the unexpected free gift of eternal life. And if you don't believe me, let's go to Matthew 27, verse 39. Hallelujah. You got hot in here, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. I have to bind the scripture myself. Amen. The book of Matthew. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 39 and verse 46. Hallelujah. Chapter 39, verse 46. Hallelujah. Let me make sure I got this right. Matthew 27, 39, and 26. Hallelujah. 39 to 46. And those who passed by blaspheming him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temples, build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from that cross, from the cross, and he will believe, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same things." Everybody, can you imagine that? If you say, okay, it's just like we're saying, oh, you say you got a mighty God. Your mighty God can save you now. How come you ain't got a new car? Okay, I tell you what, get yourself out of debt. Okay, heal yourself. Where's your God at now? People get to mocking the God in us. But it's our job to know who God is, to continue to trust in God, and know at that point in time where we're supposed to be. Amen? Because remember, something is waiting for us, and if we act out of character, we can't get the soul that might be connected. We can't do what God's assignment is. There's going to be times when you're on assignment, and the enemy's going to come to try to distract you. The enemy's going to use somebody or something to try to pull you off course. And we got to be at a place where we know who God is in us, we know what our assignment is, we know what we had to get through to get to where we at, and be strong enough to stand on God's word, to stand on the love of the Lord, and know that we shall not be moved. We got to get to the point that we can't allow our emotions and our flesh to be the thing that move us. We got to stop reacting and just fall back. We can't just be reactors all the time, because when we reactors, we start acting our emotions, then we start acting in our flesh, and then we start acting in the natural man, and we're not reacting and the spiritual man, and just say, okay, Lord, what would you have me doing this? Because sometimes the Lord say, don't say nothing. I got your battles. We always say that. The Lord has my battles. So allow him to fight the battles when they come. If it's otherwise, he would tell us, amen, hallelujah. We got to get to a place that we're walking and preparing for where we're going and preparing for what's waiting for us, amen. Because there is something waiting for us. And we got to get to that place and understand what it is. Amen? Even the thieves mocked him. But Jesus, But even Jesus, he had changed his mind. I mean, the criminal had changed his mind and asked Jesus to remember him when he entered the heavenly kingdom. And from his pathetic position on the cross, the lawless man received the unexpected free gift of eternal life. Amen? Yes. Had he done anything to earn such a gift? Of course not. He simply changed his mind about Jesus and placed his faith in him. A lot of times we want to take our will back. We know if we sit back and think, before we got saved, even after we got saved, do we really deserve all the grace and favor and mercy that we receive on a daily basis? If we be honest with ourselves, and if we know that we should be, that our Father should spank us for every time we're wrong or punish us for every disobedient thing we do, how many of us will still be walking with God because we would be tired of getting punished? It's just like when you're in your natural father. Every time your father punished you or your mother punished me, we get to the one point, I'm running away from home. I'm tired of being here. I ain't going to stay here no more. I'm getting right out of here. And as soon as I get out, I can't wait to get grown. I'm going to get out of here and do what I want to do. And that's how a lot of us being Christians. Things don't go the way we want to go in church. We want to run to another church. It don't go that way in that church. We want to run to another church. And before you know it, you done ran back to the club. You done ran back to the speakeasy. You done ran back to the stripper pole. You done ran back to the dope house. You done ran back to that corner. You done ran back to this man, that woman, this man, that woman. We keep running. This is the time God is fixing it for us now to stand on his word. Everything that's going on right now in the world is playing a part for God's people and our purpose. Amen. Believe me, there's something that's waiting on us. We just have to prepare now. We should be in the preparation stages. We should be learning how to fast better, pray better, meditate better, love one another better. We got to get into a place we know God's word. We got to get into a place when God get ready to make his move and call your name to do a work, the enemy will not be able to discourage you, to not be able to anger us, to not be able to move us, to not be able to fake us out. Amen. Hallelujah and glory to his magnificent name. Yes, glory to God, and I thank you, Father, in your mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Woman, the scripture, John 19:26-27 says, woman, behold thy son. And behold thy mother. Upon seeing his mother on and one of his disciples, and I believe it probably was John, standing close to the cross, Jesus has fulfilled his role as Mary's oldest son and made provision for her future and her future care, because she was now to consider John her son and John was to consider Mary his own mother. Amen. Whose mother, spiritual mother, and father are we? Whose mother, spiritual mother, and father are we? Are we making plans and provision to be there for somebody else? Amen. Hallelujah. Really, if we really think about it, have we made provisions to be the spiritual God, the spiritual mothers and fathers that we're supposed to be, not only in the church, but in our community? We see the lost. We know who's suffering. What are we doing to prepare and make the provisions to be there for them? Amen. Is there anyone that you can that knocks on your door and call you spiritual mom or spiritual dad? Do they come and call your name when they're in need? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have to prepare for where we're going. Just like Jesus did 40 days and 40 nights. And he was tempted and tempted and tempted and tempted and tempted to the point where the angel came down to let him know that he had his support. And we got to get to the point where we support each other, that we truly be our brother and sister's keeper. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing to know that your sister has your back. It's a wonderful thing to know that your brother has your back in your time of need. and you're and it's not a bad thing, like you're struggling, or you're struggling with addiction, or you're struggling with alcohol, you're struggling with cigarettes. It's not that. It's now that you're going through your wilderness, you're going through your valleys, and you just know that someone's praying for you, someone's interceding for you, because we got to go through what we got to go through. See, that's not going to be stopped. For us to get to the purpose that God has called us to come to, we have to go through what we go through. The thing is, how do we go through, and how do we prepare to get there? And prepare and be ready when we get there to get through there. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Wow. That's when the darkness covered the land. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, and the blackness had signified Jesus' separation from God. So in those hours, he took the punishment for sin that was meant for all of us. He took, hear what I just said. He took the punishment that was meant for us. He carried the guilt of our sin, even though he was perfect. That's what, listen, that what was happening here, nothing short of the most awesome and most significant event in all of human history. He took it for us, and we get lackadaisical now. We get angry still. We get egotistic still. We still walk around pouting and lying and deceiving and manipulating and doing trickery and folly and think we're doing some slick. He went through all that so we can live and took the sin that we had, and we still want to put more burdens on him? It's time to step up and be responsible. It's time for us to take our own lashes and take the lashes for somebody else. Because we got to remember, there's people out there who don't know Christ. That's in sin, that's in the darkness. We got to intercede for them. We got to take one for the team. Team Christ. God is raising up superstars, an all-star team. We can't be wimps in this season. We can't be throwing pity parties in this season. God is creating the atmosphere for soldiers. He's building it. He's making a platform right now. He's putting us in a position where all we have to do is seek him. Spend time with him. Seek him. Spend time with him. Listen. Meditate on his word. Learn. Learn what it is he wants us to do. Learn our pathway. Learn your ministry. Learn what is God really setting you up to do. What is really waiting for us? We don't want to be spending all this time, and when God called us to do a work, we're not even prepared. It's our basic training time. We're right here with each other. We've got support. We ain't got the temptation of the bars. You ain't got the temptation of the streets. You ain't got the temptation of nothing else. All you got is a lot of time to spend with God. All we have is a lot of time to spend with the Lord. To get to know Jesus, to get his characteristics, to mimic his lifestyle, to mimic his characteristics, to try to mirror Jesus in our everyday walk. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. Oh, but we can strive to do what must be done to build the kingdom of God, no matter what everybody else is doing, no matter what everybody else is saying, no matter what the naysayers are saying. We are called to do a work, and it's time for us to raise up out of those holes. Bring your head, bring your whole body up now. God then carried us a long way. Jesus died on that cross. He took on everything that was holding us down and keeping us away from Christ. Now it's time for us to man up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you. My God, why has thou forsaken me? Hallelujah. And in the book of John, chapter 19 and 28, let's go there real quick. Amen. Chapter, book of John, chapter 19, starting at verse 26. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. We just read how I want us to read that. But I wanted everybody to know that that's in the Bible. Amen. I didn't make that up. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. There's times we got to take responsibility. It's our responsibility to care and be the spiritual mother and father that God has called us to be. It's no more, "I'm dropping that one off. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of their behavior. I ain't dealing with that." Because what if Jesus would have did that to us? Hallelujah. We want to thank you, God, because we know that there's none like you. Go to the book of John and go right over to the book of chapter 19 and read verse 28 with me. Okay? Hallelujah. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Oh, hallelujah. He said, "I thirst." Amen. And when I read that, you know, I often used to compare that is a good word, compare that to spiritual thirst of, you know, I thirst for more God, I thirst for more word, I thirst for more of this, and I thirst for more of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, but God is a good God. I thirst. Before the end of his earthly life, Jesus was aware of his swollen and parched tongue as his craving for water demanded a response. He uttered this statement. In doing so, Jesus fulfilled a prophecy made hundreds of years earlier by King David. And we can find that in the book of Psalms, chapter 69 and verse 21. Hallelujah. I know it's there. Amen. I want to back up everything with scripture because this is, to me, it's fulfilling me. It's allowing me to get to know my purpose. It's allowing me to know that it's more to me than, you know, preaching and teaching and ministering. There's souls and people connected to us that has to be trained up. But they can't get trained up if we're always hiding behind the church walls, or we're always hiding in our homes, or we're always hiding with each other. Amen. Chapter 69, verse 21. Amen. Hallelujah. For comfort, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food and for my thirst. They gave me vinegar to drink. How foul and how nasty could that be? Gall is commonly employed in the scripture as a synonym for, believe it or not, poison or bitterness. And when Jesus hung on the cross, he actually was offered some sour wine mixed with gall, the bitter herb, myrrh. A drink given occasionally to relieve the crucified person's thirst and its pain. Can you imagine that? I did nothing. You hung me after you beat me and spit on me and hung me. And all I requested and just cried out, I thirst. And even in my dying whimper, his dying whimper, they were nasty and tried to give him a bitter, nasty poison. Be prepared for what your enemies are going to try to give you. Those who laugh and smile in your face, we better start knowing and seeing in the spirit and stop looking at people in the flesh. We better know who our enemies are. We better be able to hear their voice from afar. We should be able to see them from afar, because people are waiting for and help and assist them and being raised up and getting them out of the darkness and getting them out of all their negative and sinful and dark ways. How can we help someone fight if we can't fight ourselves? If we don't know the sound of the enemy, if we don't know and see the enemy, how can we fight? If we don't prepare, we don't train, we don't study. It's beyond so much. Playing church days are over. Playing church is over. I just believe when all the smoke is cleared and God just open up the heavenly doors and free us to go back, and the churches are going to be so filled. People are going to be knocking the church doors down for prayer, for prayer. Bless me. Help me. Show me how to get through this. Show me how to be who I'm supposed to be. But they got to have somebody in place to show them what the thing that waits on them also. Just like something waiting is on Jesus, something's waiting on us, and something is waiting on them. But we have to be in place to show them the way. When they come in crying and snotting and pleading and praising and begging for help, are your spirit in the right place? Or are you going to still be, I don't feel like laying hands on nobody today. I don't feel like standing here all that day praying. I ain't got time to be doing all that today. I got myself to worry about. Can you imagine if Jesus said that? It's time. It is time for us to stand up. All of us to say we are rooted in the word, rooted in Christ, rooted in the blood. Can we still stand? Because when this is over, oh, it's going to be so much confusion. Oh, the fake prophets, the false prophets, oh, everybody's coming out. But are we ready? Are we really ready? Because something's waiting on us also. It's waiting. Hallelujah. It is waiting for us also. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. John 19:30. Go to a book, chapter John, book of John, chapter 19, verse 30. Hallelujah. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, ain't that something? Even after they gave him the poison, the nasty wine, he had already realized. He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. His job was done. His task was done. He went through to get through. He knew what he had to do. From the time he was born, he was about his father's business. We can't be procrastinating. There are people waiting. People right now, family members have passed. They're needing someone to help them get through their grieving state. People right now who's going through something they never went through, they're in a claustrophobic state. They're in an anger state. They can't wait to get free, and they want to get buck wild when they get free. They want to bust loose. It is our job to put the reins on God's people and pull them in to the house of worship, to pull them in the house of grace, to pull them in the house of favor. It is our job to get each and every sheep that we can gather, get them in the house, raise them up with the word, raise them up with fasting and teaching them how to fast, teaching them the tricks of the enemy, teaching them how to stand. And a lot of times, this is a season where we're going to have to really testify. Yeah, we're going to have to expose some stuff so some people can get freed up. A testimony is going to be a beautiful weapon. True testimony. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, it is finished. With these words, Jesus declared victory. In the original language, his phrase was a legal term. Common practice dictated that when a man was convicted of a crime, his punishment was written on a scroll. The scroll was then rolled up and nailed over his jail cell. But when he had served his sentence, after Jesus served his sentence, the scroll was taken down and had the phrase, "It is finished," written across it. Never again would that man be punished for that crime. Complete restitution has been made. In Jesus' person, a scroll carrying the crimes of all mankind had been nailed to a cross. And I want to go to the book of Colossians because I like to back stuff up with scripture. Hallelujah, glory to God. The book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. Amen. And you being dead in your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all transgressions, all trespasses, having wiped out the handwritten requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He nailed it to the cross with him. Hallelujah. He nailed it to the cross with him. Oh, glory to God. It was buried with him in baptism. Because baptism is the symbol of the believer's accusation, association with Christ's death on the cross. Whatever baptism itself does not bring forgiveness of sin, but Paul uses the rite to help explain the work of the Spirit, because the early church would never have understood the idea of an unbaptized Christian. Ain't that something? The early church, they never understood that idea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Principalities and power, because these words allude to Satan and the fallen angels. And Paul is describing Christ's victory on the cross over the powers that opposed him and that were against God's faithful people. To describe the victory, Paul uses the spectacle of a military triumph when prisoners of war were stripped and paraded before the people behind the conquered general. Listen, that cross is a symbol of victory. Jesus, that cross is the reason a lot of us are alive. A reason that we are sane, the reason that we have hope, the reason that we have joy, the reason that we have life and life more abundantly. That cross that Jesus hung from, that man who never did anything wrong, the sinless man who gave up his life, he didn't do it for us to play church. He didn't do it for me to play pastor. He didn't do it for you to play bishop. He didn't do it for you to play deaconess. He didn't do it for you to play whatever your title may be. He didn't do it for us to play church. He did it to give us new life and a new way of life and a new beginning, power and power more abundantly. We don't even use the power that's within us because we don't believe it's there. We don't believe it's there. Hallelujah. When he had paid in full for the sins of the world, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Never again would humans have to suffer eternal condemnation for their sins. Because why? Jesus had paid our debt to our Creator in full and offers us the gift of his payment in place of ours, if we will but choose to accept it.
We have a choice. Choose life or choose death. What and whom are you going to choose this day? There are people still in the dark, don't even know they have a choice. They don't even know they have a choice. It is all objective to let them know today you can live and not die. Today you can have everlasting life. Today you can be cleansed of every sinful thing. Today you can be purged of every disease. Today you can be healed and delivered. Today you can see and not be blind anymore. You can see life and Christ for who he truly is. Something was waiting for him. It was the cross. And because he met his destination, we have a chance to meet ours. We have a chance to sit and praise God in the heavenly realm when we leave this natural earth. We have a chance to reflect and mimic Christ by operating and walking in his power, walking in his love, walking and believing and trusting in the Almighty Jesus Christ. I don't want his life to be in vain on my behalf. What he did for me, I want to be able to repay him by walking upright, trying my best to be all that I can be, to prove to Christ that you did not down that cross for me in vain. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That's in the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 46. With these words, Jesus handed his life over to his Father. Neither the Jewish religious rulers, nor Pilate, nor the crowd, nor even the guards themselves took away Jesus' life. Now listen, you know why? You know why? Because he willingly gave it up. What are we willingly giving up for the sake of somebody else? What are we really and willingly ready to do to walk and be who God called us to be? When are we going to willingly do it? Not because the pastor told you to, not because the pastor promised you a position in the church, not because the pastor loves you and always calls you to read a scripture. What are we willing to do? Because Christ gave his life up for that. That gave us that opportunity. I know it's getting late in the hour, and I apologize. I don't mean no harm to nobody. I truly don't. There is a passion. This man gave his life up. He suffered and given up his life. He taught. He taught. He prayed. He did miracles. He proved to us that he is worthy for us to do what we have to do to be who we're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. We have to realize and find out what that something that's waiting on us. Oh, some of us got, oh my God, some of us got universal ministries. Oh, some of us got little small ministries. Oh, some of us got mega ministry in us. Some of us got healing power, resurrecting power. Some of us speak life. Oh, but if we don't do what we need to do in the spirit realm and prepare in the spirit and trust in the spirit and see and believe in the spirit, it all will fall to the ground and do nothing. That's one of the best investments we can ever have, is the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Jesus' crucifixion was the greatest act of love in human history. Reflect on that. We need to reflect on what he uttered from the cross. We need to reflect on what was the greatest statement that Jesus left. And made, that Jesus made and left an impression in our life.
We need to take some time and thank God for giving his son as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Then we need to take time and thank Jesus himself for paying that ultimate price and dying in our place. I don't think you heard what I said. I don't think you really heard me. We need to thank Jesus himself for paying the ultimate price for dying. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We need to thank him. We just need to thank him. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Just meditate on that for a minute. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He truly fixed it. Believe me, all the parts and all the tools we need is in Christ Jesus. If we just pull on him, if we just seek him, if we just go and get the tools that he has provided for us in the Word of God, in the church, in our praise, in our worship, in our fasting, in our giving, in our serving, and in our loving, if we just go, we will find it. In the book of Luke, amen, you don't have to go there with me. I'm just going to read a little something in chapter 23, verse 44 through verse 47, amen. It said, now it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temples were torn into two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this,
he breathed his last breath and hung there. Let's not allow Jesus' life, his death, to be in vain. Let's not allow his suffering to be in vain. Let's come together and be as one kingdom family and allow Jesus to be proud and joyful and say, Father, I knew they would get it together. Father, I knew my life is not given up in vain. I knew that you knew what you were doing when you assigned me to this. Look at them, Father. They're praising you. They're worshiping you. They're loving one another. They're looking out for their brothers and sisters. Husbands is honoring their wives. Wives are honoring their husbands. Children are being obedient to their parents. They're being obedient to the elder. Look at the love. Look at the joy of your people that you created in this beautiful earth. And look how mad the enemy is, because your children were stronger and wiser, and they had an understanding of who you were and who you were in them and who they were in you. And we all became one in Jesus' name. This has been your Fix It Six, and I've been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. I hope that the Word of God is minister to the spirits of those who are listening, and minister to the atmosphere, that we just take this on this evening what God has given us and use it as a lifestyle of change. Anything that's not like Christ, let's change it to Christ-like. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I know God loves us all. So we're going to close out with prayer, and we're going to have a song at the end, amen. So please don't go nowhere. Father God, we thank you for what you allowed to happen up on this evening. We thank you, God, for those who found it not robbery to come forth this evening and give up their time to hear thus saith the Lord. Father, now I ask you to go through their households, Father, and cleanse and mend broken hearts and give joy where there's sadness, God. Give health where there's needed, God. Give prosperity and joy, God. Allow your peace of understanding, God, to walk through this atmosphere, Father. Walk the earth, Father, and remove everything that's not like you, Father. Cleanse the atmosphere with your purity and your beauty and the smell of your lovely perfume. Let your blood prevail, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Tear down everything that needs to be torn down and build up us a new God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Teach us to be like you, Father. Teach us, God. Take us back to the days of prayer, praying and worshiping, God, fasting and loving on each other, God. Take us back and remind us what our calling is. Father God, I ask you to bless every household, every city, every country. Bless those who are on the front line. Give them strength, Father. Give them every resource that they need, God. Give them endurance, God. Give them power and wisdom and understanding, God, to be strong in the kingdom of God. Be strong in your word, God. And oh, Holy Ghost, thank you. Bless every household, God, every business, every hospital, every church, every TV station, every radio station, every home, God, good or bad. Have your way, Holy Ghost. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dark clouds forming in the sky. Danger coming from every side. Cause my God is not my man. Working in ways I don't understand. Stop. There's rumors of war, famine, and genocide.
But I still believe.
So through every trial and circumstance, I gotta believe there's a master plan. I'll be holding on to his unchanging hand.
Once again, and have a good night. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Good night.